Our scripture reading for today is taken from a portion of the gospel reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent. It is found in John chapter 6. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." Last summer, I was talking to a Bethany graduate who now works at a bank as a loan officer out on the East Coast. And he was mentioning that a young man had come in a couple years ago to buy a brand new sports car, very nice car, and cost in the upper $20,000 range, if I remember. And he had come back then this last year wanting to buy another new car. And when the loan officer, this BLC graduate, started asking him about this, he said, "What's the reason you want to get a new car?" And he said, "Well, the new model of this one that I got last year has a better sound system and a lot cooler rims on it." Well, the cost of it was going to be maybe an additional $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 for him. And my friend said to him, "Why don't you instead just buy a better stereo system and some rims for your car? That would probably cost you a lot less." And he'd never thought of that option. It's interesting how we are in a consumer society, a consumer culture that just encourages us to buy. And if you don't have the money, just, hey, get a credit card and just put things on credit. The average college student today, I hate to remind you of this, but will leave college with a debt of over $20,000. In our culture, we are consumed with being consumers. The word consume itself literally means to take something up and make it your own. It's interesting, though, that we use that word to talk about eating, don't we? We consume breakfast and consume food. And at the same time, we use that word to talk about material goods and possessions that we can acquire in this life. The picture that Jesus gives us in our text this morning comes upon the heels of his great feeding of the 5,000, that miraculous event where he demonstrated his divine nature and divine power to provide food for these thousands of people with just a few elements before him. And what an amazing sight that must have been for people to witness this fantastic miracle. But the problem was that people started to follow him, many of them, because of this power, thinking that this guy could just give us what we need miraculously. Who would need to work anymore? And so in that context, Jesus provides the words of our text. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." There are a lot of things that we can labor for in this life, a lot of things that we can work toward that ultimately will rot and fade away. Jesus uses the imagery of bread. Bread today has we call it a shelf life. There's a certain length of time that it will last, and then it will begin to deteriorate. And on most bread that is sold commercially today, it has a little expiration date stamped on it. And within a matter of days or maybe a week or so, that expiration date is pretty faithful to let us know how long this stuff is going to last. And just like with certain things in our lives, bread, there are certain types of bread that last a little bit longer than others. Some has more of a preservation and inside, more preservatives in it and so on. And that's how it is with the material goods that we can get in this life too. Some things last a little longer. They may taste a little bit better for a while. But ultimately, all of them do have this expiration date. Imagine if every item that you picked up to buy or get or acquire had an expiration date on it. Not just an apple that told you the exact day it would go bad, but also maybe a new shirt or a new pair of jeans, a new car that could actually tell you the exact mile on the odometer when the car would stop for the last time. or a house, instead of the address on the house, actually have the expiration date when the bulldozer will come and tear it down. Or your body. Imagine if on your arm was stamped the actual date for when your heart will stop for the last time. In Egypt, there is a man who has dedicated his life to preserving the pyramids. His name is Dr. Zahi Hawass. And he's been working now for decades to make sure to preserve these great monuments and tombs, some of which are over 5,000 years old. According to his estimation, it will only be about 200 or 300 years, and many of the pyramids will ultimately deteriorate due to what he believes either pollution or to dangers from war, or possibly because of thieves and tourists, which he says causes the greatest deterioration to the pyramids today. Now think of it. Even the wealthiest people in history and the most powerful people in history cannot even make sure that their graves will last. That's how perishable this world is. Christ uses this imagery of moldy bread to symbolize for us how absolutely everything in this life is going to fade away from us. Because he knows also that those who follow him still have a temptation to get sucked up and sucked into looking at what the world does as far as consuming things and wanting to get the possessions of this world. And just like passengers on a lovely cruise ship that has a fantastic buffet, they can be so caught up with eating from that buffet that they decide they want to just stay on that ship forever, all the way to the salvage yard. Our Lord Jesus doesn't want us to be so caught up with the deteriorating world that we live in that we end up losing the greater blessings he has prepared for us. If you're looking for your contentment and your satisfaction in life, if you're looking for what's going to fill you up that has anything to do with this world and the goods of this world, you will ultimately be left with a growling stomach, whether it's at some point in this life or on the final day of this world. Now, as believers in Christ, we know this. We've heard this our whole life. We've been blessed to be taught about the riches of heaven that God has prepared for us. And yet even the strongest believers are still tempted back to the things of this earth and of this world. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the case for all of us. The fact that you didn't really have any problem finding a seat in our sanctuary today is evidence of that. Just think, if I had sent out a message last night on email that said, if you come to chapel today, you'll get $100. Good luck finding a seat. Think of everything that Christ in this world could have come to purchase for us. Think of all of the things he could have just given us or used his death on the cross to buy so that you and I could have and enjoy. But he skipped by all of that because he knew it really wouldn't benefit you for good. Instead, he chose to use his precious, holy, innocent blood to purchase for you everlasting life in heaven, to make complete atonement for your sins and mine, even our sins of greed and materialism, to give us his holy, perfect righteousness as our own, so that we could be absolutely positive that someday we will get to live and enjoy the riches of heaven. And it's that Savior who says to us, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. And he gives it to us continually through his word and sacrament. So as Jesus said on his Sermon on the Mount, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Work for the bread that truly lasts and gives eternal benefits. Amen. Please rise and join with me in a prayer this morning. Turn to page 168. page 168 in the front part of your hymn book. When I was a little child, my parents used this Monday morning prayer at our breakfast every morning. And there was one line in it that especially stands out. It's right in the middle. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Let us pray the entire prayer together. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might, make me sincere in my love to you, and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor to your glory and my salvation. Amen.